Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're tuned in to the best radio station inside of my house in Bellmead, Texas. The Love Lift Me Up Show, featuring gospel artists, psalmists, authors, educators, and community leaders. Let's give it up for the new Love Lift Me Up Show with Dr. Love. Welcome
to the Love Live Jesus Up Ministry, where Jesus shines with love. I am your host today, Alfreda Love, and today we're going to have a very special guest, Reverend Marissa Davis, who will enlighten us with her book, Bill Cosby Is Right. But first, let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for blessing us as we were able to wake up this morning and you started us on our way, Lord. Thank you for giving us a reasonable portion of our health and strength. Thank you for keeping us safe, Heavenly Father. We're asking you would you continue to bless the Love Lift Jesus Up ministry, and not just this ministry, but other ministries as well. In addition to that, Lord, we just ask would you bless each guest who come on the show, bless their ministry, bless the things that they're doing, Heavenly Father, bless their families, bless those who are sick, bless those who are in mourning, Heavenly Father, bless those who just need something, need an answer from you, Heavenly Father. Lord Jesus, if there's anything missing, we ask that it be found in the name of Jesus, Lord. We thank you for the platform you've given us. We thank you for the connections. We thank you for the higher heights you've taken us, Heavenly Father. We thank you for the past, the present, and the future, Lord. We thank you for just each thing that you have done in our lives, and we're asking you would you bless this episode to be something that you are acceptable with and pleasing in your sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Hey, amen. And we are going to read a scripture, and it's in John 12:26. And it reads as such, "If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor." I have read to you John 12:26. May the Lord add a blessing to the hearers' doors and the seekers of his holy word. And as we wait on Dr. Marissa Davis, I'm going to give her a call to remind her about the show today, because many things happen and sometimes we get caught up in the midst of things. So as I begin to call her, I want to give you some insight on what is coming up in the other shows. And what we're going to do is we're going to have a book study with her book entitled Bill Cosby Is Right, as well as Dr. Dyson's book, who is a professor, entitled Bill Cosby Is Right. And therefore, we're going to look at both of the issues at hand, and we're also going to take action as a ministry, and we're going to begin to do things that will edify and magnify the Holy Spirit. So as I begin to try to call Reverend Davis, please hang tight for a second. And once again, our scripture is John 12:26. Okay, while we wait here, and I just called, I'll try to call back. I'm going to go ahead with the announcements. Then after the announcements, I'll try again. And then I have something planned in case we have to reschedule, but hopefully we don't. So first of all, you already know what I'm going to say. Be sure to continue to encourage your family and friends to log on to blogtalkradio.com/freedolove. That's blogtalkradio.com/FREDALOVE. The Perfecting Your Walk book is out, and it's on different websites, and I will give you those websites on the Facebook page. One website is Follis.com, and that's in the United Kingdom, and another website is BookWorld.com. That's BookWhirl. BookWorld.com. That's where the other book is, so be sure to pick up a copy of that book and see how the Lord will bless you with that. Gospel artists, artists, promoters, publicists, authors, writers, positive community leaders, please, please, Facebook Alfreda Love, that is A-L-F-R-E-D-A-L-O-V-E, or F-R-E-D-A-L-O-V-E, or you can email me at emonya_love@yahoo.com. Please be sure to do that. In addition to that, continue to pray for 82 individuals. If you have to pray for your family members, make sure you pray for them and put them all on one line and pray for each one of them. And do not forget to pray for yourself. In addition to that, remember that we're having a huge event entitled Bringing Christ Back into the Community. And with this particular event, what we're doing is we're in the midst of writing letters to different churches to get them involved and going out into the community, something that is free, going out into the community, just spreading the word of God at least once a month or once every 2 months. So be sure to look out for those letters and be sure to help spread the word about the fact that we are bringing Christ back to the church. Back to the church, yes, and also back to the community. And the email, my email is emonya_love@yahoo.com. That is my email. So be sure to do that. And while I try to call once more to Reverend Davis, I want to make sure that everyone is in the loop on what's going on as far as this book study and as far as the title of Bill Cosby Is Right. I'm going to let you listen to an excerpt, and we're going to carry on with that excerpt, and we're going to talk about it. It's like 4 minutes long. And then if we have to reschedule, we can reschedule, but we can also use this as a prayer time because God says the prayer of the righteous availeth much. And we understand that many of our guests or some of our guests are busy, and therefore they have to do other things, and so we have to reschedule. And things like that happen, which is totally okay because this gives us extra time to actually gain insight on the book. So without further ado, I am going to let you listen to a clip as I attempt to make a phone call, then after which I will give you a little insight, and then if we have to reschedule, as I said before, that is no problem. We can reschedule for Reverend Davis, because we really want to hear what she has to say as far as her book is concerned, since that will be an integral part of the ministry, and it will be highlighted on the Love, Live, Jesus Up ministry. But I'm going to let you listen to Dr. Bill Cosby's famous pound cake speech. And let's go back to May 2004, and this is what Dr. Bill Cosby had to say. And let me turn it up. Okay. All right, if you hear echo, that's totally fine. That's how technology is. Okay, this is bad reception here. Let me tell you what the speech is about. Okay, what the speech is about is a pound cake speech, and this is a speech in which Dr. Bill Cosby was addressing the NAACP, and he was speaking about different things or different trends that's in the community, such as the language that is spoken, such as the respect that is given, such as things that happen within the community that's not conducive to, in other words, the norms. And so what happened was when Dr. Cosby was speaking about this particular incident, it caused some outrage, and some people agreed that this is correct as far as how he viewed the particular environment. So I'm going to try to call one more time, and then we're going to go into our prayer mode. Okay, I'm going to leave a message, and then we're going to go to our prayer mode.
Hello?
Reverend Davis. This is Afraid of Love from Waco, Texas. If you could please call me back at 254-744-6616. I'm calling in regards to the Love Lift Jesus Up ministry. Thank you so much. And once again, my number is 254-744-6616. Thank you. All right. This is what we're going to do. We're going to go into our prayer mode because we never can pray too much. We're going to go into our prayer mode. And then after we go into our prayer mode, then we are going to discuss some upcoming things, and then I'm going to bid you farewell. And as we all know, the prayer of the righteous availeth much. And when the prayer of the righteous availeth much, we know that any time we pray, God hears our prayers. But we never want to pray amiss, because if we pray amiss, then we shall be conformed to what society has thrown at us, okay? So when we pray, we're going to pray believing and trusting in God, okay? So we're going to go into prayer, and as I said before, what we're going to do is we're going to pray, and then if we have to reschedule for Reverend Davis, we will, because actually at her time, it's supposed to be at 8 o'clock, so she may have thought that my time, 8 o'clock, and her time, 9 o'clock. And if that's so, we can still make it happen. But let's go into prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for blessing us to wake up this morning, Lord. We thank you for starting us on our way. Lord, we thank you for just giving us grace and mercy and being persistent in our lives, being the God that we always wanted, Heavenly Father, being the God that continues to bless us in spite of, being the God that continues to keep us in spite of, Heavenly Father. Lord Jesus, as we turned on the news and as we looked in the newspapers, we saw that some people didn't make it to see this day. We saw that some people didn't make it to see yesterday. We saw that some people didn't make it to see the weekend, Lord. But we ask, would you keep us and with your grace and your mercy follow us all the days of our lives, Heavenly Father. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for each blessing that you have given, Lord. We thank you for each commandment that you have given, Heavenly Father, and we ask that you bless us to follow those commandments in a way that is acceptable and pleasing, Lord, in your sight, Heavenly Father. Lord God, we ask you, Heavenly Father, would you continue to bless the Love Lift Jesus Up ministry, crown this head of mine from the top to the bottom, Heavenly Father, so that the words that come out of my mouth may be of you and may exemplify who you are. Decrease me to zero and decrease you to greatness, Heavenly Father. We thank you for each opportunity. We thank you for each door that is open, Heavenly Father. We're asking you, would you bless those who are in the hospitals, because we know that you're already there. Lord, would you bless those who are coming out of the hospitals, bless those who are going in the hospitals, Lord. And I believe that this is Reverend Davis. This is Afraid of Love. How are you? Good. Do you mind calling in? Can I give you the number? Okay. Okay, listeners, hold on just a second. Okay, it's 347-843-4981. Yes, ma'am. Yes. You're exactly right. All right, thank you. Bye-bye. Okay, and so we just thank God for each thing, and we pray that this interview will be something that is acceptable and pleasing in God's sight. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. And we're waiting on Reverend Davis. And we understand that things happen. That's why we have a lot of time still available. And I'm glad that she's able to connect with us. So I'm going to wait patiently on her to call. But as I said before, we have a lot of upcoming things going on. And we definitely want to hear her perspective on the book of Is Bill Cosby Right? And as I said before, I wanted to play a part of his speech for you. And I may have to call her because this system may be messing up as well. And we'll just give her time. And at this particular time, I'm going to click her in. Reverend Davis?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay,
blessed
thank you so much
tonight.
All right, and thank you so much for joining me. Appreciate it.
Okay.
Okay. All right. I'm going to introduce you right quick, and then after I introduce you, I'm going to let you give a synopsis of your book, and then we'll just have a conversation about your book, Bill Cosby Is Right, okay?
Okay, we'll do it.
All right. All right. Reverend Davis is a cousin of Bill Cosby. She's a recent magna cum laude graduate of Liberty Baptist Theological Seminary, where she earned her master's degree in theological studies. She's a former news anchor, and she worked with youth. She's married to Mr. Davis, and they have two beautiful children. She is the author of Bill Cosby Is Right. Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to introduce to some and present to others Reverend Marissa Davis. All right.
Thank you
Reverend
so much
Davis.
For that beautiful introduction.
Oh, you're welcome.
You
my
sound
pleasure.
I'm a lot more accomplished than what I really am. I'm, you know, a fledgling minister. We're starting a church. It's a startup, and it's not easy. But I have written a book, and I've poured my heart out in the book. And Dr. Bill Cosby is a distant cousin of mine. And the book is essentially about how several years back, Dr. Bill Cosby made some very controversial statements on the anniversary, the 50th anniversary of Brown versus Board of Education, which was a very high-class intelligentsia black tie affair. And it was, everyone was expecting Dr. Cosby to come out cutting jokes because he is a comedian. But
right.
Dr. Cosby has an earned doctorate.
That's right.
It's an EDD. He is an educator, you know, at the highest level. So he wasn't playing around when it came to education and the state of black education in America. And
he
pulled no punches and told everybody what he really thought. But he did not realize there was an open microphone close by.
Uh-huh.
And it was only for black ears only. You know how we talk different when white folks are within earshot than we do when it's just us?
Uh-huh.
Well, Dr. Cosby thought he was just talking to just us. So he laid it on the line and talked about how all the struggles and hardships that we went through to have the right to get an education, and the situation being that there are some people who don't want to take advantage of all getting the fire hoses and the dogs, being turned on the protesters and rocks getting thrown and getting punched in the face to try to get an education. And we have some people today that just don't care. And I have to agree with Dr. Cosby because I have a little part-time job to supplement the income from the church, and I am an educator in the Gwinnett County school system, a substitute teacher.
Uh-huh.
And it breaks my heart. It breaks my heart to see the minds that are being wasted. And I just want to shake them. I want to shake them because I was never that way. I love knowledge and learning it. Even today, I'm the kind of person that I want to expand my mind. And recently, I applied, like Dr. Cosby, I applied to different PhD programs because I want to get that highest level of education. And so it just really troubles me when here in Atlanta, we have a 50% dropout rate. We have school cheating scandal in Atlanta. That's made national news in our black schools. You know, the educator tried to make it look like she was really teaching these kids, and the test scores went up, but they were cheating. They were taking those tests after the kids did it, going in the back room and having an erasure party. And, you know, it's all in all for everybody to see. And it's really sad, and it really hurts me that our quality of leadership is all about themselves and to the detriment of the children, the ones that they were supposed to serve. And it just hurts. That's just, you know, something that's gone on recently. But Dr. Cosby made a very long speech, so I divided the speech into 10 sections, and I have 10 chapters in my book, and I address everything that Dr. Cosby talked about, and I use the Bible because I'm telling you what, the Bible is the standard of truth. And let me let y'all know also, Dr. Cosby is a born-again Christian.
That's right.
He is born again. He has accepted Jesus into his heart. So when he speaks the truth, he is not a preacher, but he is like a gray-haired elder.
That's right. That's right.
So he has something to say.
That's right. And speaking of something to say, I'm going to let the listeners listen to a little three-minute excerpt of his speech, the pound cake speech that we're discussing, okay?
Okay.
All right. Hold on just a second. I'm going to see if it's the quality the same. Let's see here.
You couldn't hook a school because behind every drawn shade was mine. And before your mother got off the bus into the house, she knew exactly where you had gone, who had gone into the house. Parents don't know that today. I'm talking about these people who cry when their son is standing there in an orange suit. Where were you when he was two? Where were you when he was 12? Where were you when he was 18? And how come you don't know he had a pistol? These are not political criminals. These are people going around stealing Coca-Cola. People getting shot in the back of the head over a piece of pound cake. And then we all run out and we're outraged. Oh, the cops shouldn't have shot him. What the hell was he doing with the pound cake in his hand? Brown versus the Board of Education is no longer the white person's problem. We've got to take the neighborhood back. We've got to go in there. It's right around the corner. It's standing on the corner. It can't speak English. It doesn't want to speak English. I can't even talk the way these people talk. Why you ain't where you is, go far back. I don't know who these people are. And I blamed the kid until I heard the mother talk. And then I heard the father talk. This is all in the house. Everybody knows it's important to speak English, except these knuckleheads. You can't land a plane with why you ain't there. You can't be a doctor with that kind of crap coming out of your mouth. Why can't you hit the street? Why can't you clean it out yourself? It's our time now, ladies and gentlemen. It is our time. And I have good news for you. It's not about money. It's about you doing something that ordinarily we do. It is somebody else's business. It's time for you to not accept this language that these people are speaking, which will take them nowhere. What the hell good is Brown versus the Board of Education if nobody wants it? I mean, this is the future, and all of these people who lined up and done whatever, they've got to be wondering, what the hell happened? Brown versus the Board of Education. These people who marched and were hit in the face with rocks and punched in the face to get an education, and we got these knuckleheads walking around, don't want to learn English. When you go to the church, look at the stained glass things of Jesus. Look at them. Smiling, not in one picture. So tell your friends, let's try to do something. Let's try and make Jesus smile. Let's start parenting. Thank you.
Okay, so that was the pound cake speech, and I have a question for you, Reverend Davis. When we were speaking about the statistics, and I know you gave me some statistics for Atlanta, but I was looking at the Statistic Brain online, looking at high school dropout statistics, and we have annually 3 million students. When we look at the African Americans, as far as demographics, we have, let's see, for males it's 9.1, and for females it is 7%. Hispanic, you have like 17.6, white, you have 5.2. So there is an epidemic with that, and as you said, you know, that is a problem. And so how does your book address that problem as far as the dropout rates?
Well, the main thing that my book addresses is the black family.
Right.
Because when you have an intact family and the finances are flowing, you have options.
Right.
Like right now, my son just filled out an application for him to move to a better school.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it doesn't necessarily have, it's not a bus ride that has to be there. But my family has the resources and the manpower, you know, a united husband and wife, to make sure that my son could get to this better school if he is accepted. And so we have options. And we don't just have to settle for what's given to us. And sometimes what's given to you is not the best. So sometimes you might have to do something drastic, like move. But white folks do it every day. They will check when they're buying a new house. They'll check to see what the SAT scores are in such and such a school district and go check out the schools. And then when they move, they buy a house in that district. So, you know, it's all about having options. And my book, the subtitle is A Member of Bill Cosby's Family Speaks Out on His Behalf and Provides Spiritual Solutions. Because the church was the impetus for Brown versus Board in the beginning. It was a church-led movement. The whole civil rights movement was church-led. And the church was the solution then, and the church is the solution today. And I have a unique opportunity, having started a church. You know, I said, I need to get me a little part-time job to pay this rent. So I started working in the Gwinnett County school systems here in Georgia, and it opened my eyes. You know, I am, you know, not a teacher. Well, I am a teacher, a Bible teacher. That's my gift. And I am a teacher. That is who I am. But if I, you know, my degree is to do it at the college level. So I'm not certified to be anything other than a substitute, but I'm seeing a lot. And I just want to make sure that my own children have the best that they can, that we can provide them. But it's not just about my kids. See, as a pastor, I got to be concerned about each one of my members' kids.
That's
and what's best for them as well. So my job is to raise everybody up. We just had a big test here in Atlanta recently called CRCT, CRCT, and it determines if the kids can pass to another level.
Right.
Do you know I had some blessed oil? I blessed and prayed for every child that was in my service because my prayer is that none of my members gets left behind.
Right.
And I'm going to hit the floor and pray to make sure my own children do well, but it's also about other people's children too. So the church has the solutions, and the solutions are spiritual, but the Bible has all the answers to whatever problems ail society, be it white society, Asian society, Jewish society, all these. The book has answers for everybody, regardless of your color or your ethnicity. But my book particularly targets the issues in the African-American community, and I really, really touch on the issue of family, because when you have the intact family, you can just achieve so much more.
Now, let me ask you this. When we speak about the responsibility of the church, I'm going back to your book, and actually my station's going to do a book study on your book. When we go back to
that's wonderful.
Yes. When we go back to the church, we have to first of all think about getting the people in the church, because you're blessing your members, which is good. But we have a whole bunch of people who are not in the church. So what is our responsibility, or what would you say could get those people motivated to come to church? It's just like getting students motivated to do
work. I got a plan for my church. My plan is to get me a grant and start tutoring kids after services.
Okay. All right.
That's my plan, to start an after-school program where kids can come in and come and get homework help for free. We have tutors set up in our building, and they can come by after school, get the homework help, get a snack, get supervised, loving care for a few hours after school, mm-hmm. and we can make a difference. So that's just
right.
one idea that, you know, that's what Victory Temple Atlanta, that's our church, that's our vision of what we want to do to make a difference in the in society where we are located in our Norcross neighborhood.
Okay.
So, but my book has a number of solutions. At the back of each chapter, I have resources, mm-hmm. I have phone numbers, I give ideas of what other successful ministries have done to improve the test scores and to improve mm-hmm. the city, the surroundings in the schools, because when Christians band together, they can make a difference. When we are organized and together, there's nothing that can hold us back. The Bible says that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church.
Right.
So
and when you were speaking of... Go ahead.
Oh, no, I don't have anything else to say at this point. What did you want to say?
Okay. So when we're talking about, because I'm thinking about global and I'm thinking about all of these, in other words, when we talk about family, all these broken families and things like that who... I don't want to make excuses, but this is reality, who may not have the resources to remove their child. For instance, my nephew was in public school, but we moved him to private school. So
mm-hmm.
some people may not, you know what I'm saying, some people, our life stories are different. So what can, in other words, we're trying to not heal the world, but we're trying to make it a better place, as Michael
yes.
Jackson would say. We're trying to make it a better
yes.
place, and in doing so, we have to do something, take action and extend across the globe or maybe extend, like you said, in our own hometown so that other people will be able to pick up the baton and run with it to help their town. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, yes. So, you know, you have to bloom when you're planted. You know, not everybody has a big budget. Not everybody can afford private school tuition. It's true. So
right.
if you have the school that you're working in, you know, a lot of times people don't utilize all the resources.
Right.
Like in my son's current school, which is a public school, if you bring
mm-hmm.
your child there early in the mornings, you can get homework help. They can retake
mm-hmm.
a test that they didn't do well on. They can study quietly to get a little extra help. You know, you can't just stick your child on a bus. So just about every day, my husband drives my son to school so that he can get the extra help that he needs. That's just one way. You have to
mm-hmm.
look at what you are given. Also, you have to have a good relationship with the teacher. I ran into one of my son's teachers this weekend. Just happened to find her while I was out shopping for a cell phone. Just run into
uh-huh.
her.
Uh-huh.
And was so pleased that I was able to see her. And, we had a nice little conversation about what was going on.
Right.
And I gave her a big hug, but I give her respect. So many people don't respect
right.
the teachers. I give teachers
mm-hmm.
the ultimate respect, not only because I am one, you know, even my little job as a substitute, they're higher than me. But even before I became a substitute, I never looked down at my child's teachers.
Right.
And when they would
That's
tell
right.
me things, I would have to listen to what they had to say.
Mm-hmm.
Because what they're saying generally is true. And sometimes parents don't want to listen to what they're saying about their child. Not my child. No, my child is perfect. Yeah, right. You know, we have to be realistic. We really do.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So this is
and getting
to think
back.
About.
That's right. And getting back to the subject of the book and the students. How am I trying to put this? Okay. When students lack the motivation to learn, what, as far as the family, what responsibility is it of the family and church? How can they incorporate that motivation? Because some people just don't want to do. They don't want to do their work, you know, because
we
have technology.
Well, you know, if you read your Bible, and see, as Christians, that book far too often sits on a shelf in our house,
mm-hmm,
gathering
that's
dust.
Right.
But if you read the Bible says wisdom is the most important thing. And in all you're
That's
getting,
right.
get understanding.
Right.
So you have to respect knowledge. I respect knowledge in every way, shape, and form. And far too often in our community, we hear this stuff. And my son tried to pull this one on me. He said, "Ma, my little friends say that if you're studying good, good grades, you're acting white." I looked at my son. I said, "That is stupid. That is the stupidest thing I ever heard, because in your classroom, the smartest kids are the ones from India." And that shut them up. It shut them up real quick, because they are studious. They respect knowledge. They respect education. And my attitude was like, we need to be like them. But see, I'm already like that. I'm just that person. You know, 66 books in the Bible. I have 2 Bible college degrees. I've had total 6 years Bible training, and I want 3 more. Because you could never know enough Bible. You could never have enough Holy Ghost. You know, maybe if I get to a highest level I can go, I'd be like Enoch and just walk with God. It's just one day I turn around and I'm not here no more. I'm up in heaven because I walk with God. You know, we all have to have that desire to move forward in life, and I am never satisfied with what my level in life. Now, I'm content with what I drive. I'm content with what God has given me with my house. I want to fix it up a little bit, keep it together.
Mm-hmm.
But I am content with my material things. But spiritual, oh, no. No, I've got to move forward. I need to prophesy more. I need to have more dreams, more visions. And I cannot – someone told me this once, and I believe it's true.
Okay.
You cannot help people move up any higher than you are yourself.
Right.
When it comes to spiritual things. And, you know, I can't, you know, you can't move any higher than the pastor that you're sitting under. Spiritually speaking, you can't. So I've always chosen people whose knowledge and spiritual maturity I respect.
Mm-hmm.
And one time, for 7 years, I sat up under a white pastor. And, you know, the thing about it was, it expanded my brain. This man wrote books. He edited Bibles. He had a radio program, a television program. And he had a law degree. Even in his 70s, he was getting another degree. In addition to his earned doctorate, he sits on the board of trustees at Liberty University, Dr. Richard Lee. Loved the man of God. And that white man sitting up under him, I picked up the anointing to write books. I never was able to do it sitting up under anybody else that hadn't written one. But, no, when I sat up under him, I got the anointing to do it. And and I said, this is what I'm going to do. And I studied independently for 3.5 years to get Bill Cosby's right. But what should the church be doing about it together? And you would have thought he had wrote the book. He was so proud. He was like, I got me a smart black woman up in my church. And
now,
I was
let me
happy
ask you
to
this.
Be up under him.
So, Reverend Davis, what is the ideal black family to you? What is, I mean, realistically?
Ideal?
We're going back to the book. Yes, ma'am. What's the ideal black family to you?
We have so many different forms of family, and let me tell you straight up, even the Bible families were dysfunctional.
That's right. I know. I know. That's right.
Isaac, you have Isaac, and then you have Ishmael. You
yes.
got Hagar, and then you have Sarah. And then you got Abraham with 2 baby mamas. Well, actually, he had more than 2. A lot of people don't know that he married another one after Sarah died.
I know.
And her name was Keturah. And he had a whole bunch of babies. Remember that little song we used to sing?
Father, which one is
that? Abraham has
many
sons. And many sons have five. Oh, he had a bunch of children.
Uh-huh.
And people
did.
You know, they don't talk about that. They sit there and they talk about Abraham, Ishmael, Sarah, and Hagar and make that the whole thing. No, after Sarah died, he married a young woman and kept on having a bunch of kids.
That's
and
right.
So when I'm saying all these things, even our patriarch, a man of faith, had about 3 or 4 different baby mamas.
Right.
So, but... And David, you know, in our church was doing a study on David. He had a lot of baby mamas.
Right.
But David loved all his children. When one of them was sick, he would stop doing what he needed to do for the head of state and go and check on his sick child.
Mm-hmm.
Another
right.
story that we were studying this week, David was about his brothers and his sisters and his mother. Now, when he went on the run from Saul, he went and got his mother, got his father, got all his brothers and sisters when Saul was doing his rampage, crazy jealousy thing, trying to kill David and everybody he loved.
Mm-hmm.
He went and got his whole family and moved them to Moab.
That's right.
You know, and, you know, I've been studying the Bible for a long time, and I was like, it struck me. I'm like, David was a family man, a man after God's own heart, and this is why God could use him. Because he wasn't just trying to hightail it out and take care of his own hide. Even them five
right.
brothers that treated him like dirt, he went and saved their butts too. So
that's right.
I'm saying all this to talk about there's no one family that's perfect, but it's all within your heart towards your offspring, you know?
Right.
And the ideal family, of course, is, I will say this, and that a woman gets married as a virgin to her husband, and they stay married till death do them part. Now, we have a whole bunch of people that are missing that. Virginity is not as valued in our community as it needs to be. And there's a holiness that comes with that. And, you know,
mm-hmm.
if you want to have the blessing of God on your offspring, you know, it does depend on what you do with your reproductive parts. I know
That's
some
it.
Sweet Christian ladies who, you know, when they were teenagers, decided they wanted to do what they wanted to do. They left the holiness church and got out there, went out there buck wild, did what they wanted to do. Then when they settled down and tried to get married, they could have kids. Mysterious, unexplained infertility. I've seen it more
mm-hmm.
than once. And it's because of the fact that they knew what they were supposed to do, and they did what they wanted to do anyway. So these are the things we have to at least put the standard out there and make sure
right.
everybody has a chance to at least reach for it. Now, you know, I have been married twice, but I've only been with these two men and only when there was a ring on my finger and after we said I do.
Mm-hmm.
So that counts for holiness right there. So
mm-hmm.
this is why I feel as if I can speak on the subject. And my
okay.
children are blessed. They're blessed, and I'm grateful for them. They're not perfect, but all four of us on a Sunday, we are there working together in the house of God to get the church together.
That's right.
My son is carrying in the speakers. My daughter is putting the speakers together. She's getting a glass of water with a little lace over it, you know, that you drink. My son
right.
is taking up the offering. He's praying over the offering. You know, me and my husband are doing what needs to be done. We are working together as a family in the house of God, and people are amazed. People are amazed when they come, and it should be that way. It should be the whole family serving God together. But
that's right.
We're not perfect, and I'm not trying to say we're perfect, but we are being perfected, and we are moving
right.
towards that goal. We are moving
right.
towards that goal. And I pray and ask God exactly what I need to do to move this family forward.
That's right.
And I felt like God was saying, try to get your son into such and such a school. So that's what I'm trying to do.
And let me ask you about this. So what tendencies were you seeing that, you know, made you think he needs something better? Was he bored, or what are you seeing as far
well,
as that? Because
he
talked
about
the
being,
school,
yes, school structure. Yeah, he started, you know, when you start spouting that stuff about, you know, my friends say studying, making good grades is acting white. That's when I looked
mm-hmm.
at him cockeyed and said, it's the Indian children that are the ones that are excelling. They're the ones that are studying, and they are not white. And that shut
mm-hmm.
him up. When I started hearing that, I started worrying about it. Then he began to be a little more obsessed with his sneakers, these Nike sneakers.
Okay.
And next
uh-huh.
thing you know, he wants to trade these sneakers. And they have like these little networks where the kids trade the sneakers. They wear
uh-huh,
them for a little
okay.
while, and then they trade them. Well, me and my husband, we told my son, you know what? The sneakers we bought you are good enough. Do not bring nobody else's sneakers up in this house.
Right.
And when he began, he's starting to be obsessed. Not obsessed, but, well, no, I will say it, because these young teenage black boys, they are obsessed with fashion. And it's about what's on the inside. And if you put them in a school where they have uniforms, you know, my daughter's been in a Christian school wearing uniforms for a long time. She don't care if her stuff comes from Walmart. She doesn't care. If it's cute, mm-hmm. she's going to wear it. If it comes from a dollar store, she's going to wear it, and she'd be rocking it. And they'd be like, ooh, girl, them shoes is cool, at the rich white kid's school where she go to. Mm-hmm. She don't care. It's all about her style. And she wears that uniform, but she adds her little flavor to it. So mm-hmm. she's not obsessed with it. She don't care. She doesn't care like I see my son obsessing. So these are things that I'm starting to notice. And, you know, like the commercial used to say, it's all about the shoes. And for mm-hmm. a lot of our young people, oh, and this just happened. This just happened at the school, the public school I was substituting. Matter of fact, there was an article on it in today's Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Someone asked, well, what happened to that young man that got beat up over some shoes at Parkview High School? That's where I substituted at. Matter of fact, I work there today. And I asked my students, because it all went down, and the father, it was a white kid and a black kid. The black kid accused the white kid of touching his shoes. And they were pranking him, and they had took his shoes and or something along those lines. Or perhaps the white boy actually did steal the shoes, which it's still up in the air. Nobody really knows. Well, what mm-hmm. happened was that black boy got so angry, and his little friends told me that he said that he saw red. And he went and beat that white boy up so bad that he had to have reconstructive surgery on his face.
Oh, my.
He hit that boy in his face and dislocated his nose off his skull, blacked up his eyes, and then they had, you know, how kids do with their cell phones, because it was in the locker room. And it ended up all in the national news, on YouTube and on the, not the, well, I don't know if it made national, but it made all the news here in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. And it was just, and it was about some shoes. And when I first heard the story, because the kids came in my room, and they said, Miss Davis, did you hear about the fight? And I said, no, tell me about it. They said, these two boys got in it over some Nike shoes. I said, oh, Lord, I know it's one of us. Because I know we are all about the shoes. But, you know, you can put $250 shoes on your feet. That'll make no difference. Go spend a tutor. Buy you some hooked on phonics. That's what Dr. Cosby was joking about in his speech. You spend $250 on shoes, but won't spend $25 for hooked on phonics, meaning that you're more concerned about what you put on your body than you are with what goes in your brain.
And Reverend, how do we change? And Reverend Davis, how do we change this? How would you change these dynamics? Because it's, you know, I'm starting to. Project, but I wanted to see your perspective and your eyes. How would you change these dynamics? Because we see this, as you said in your book. We see what's going on. We hear what's going on, the fight and all that stuff and fashion.
Yeah. You have to sit down and talk to your children. You have to explain that it's not about the material things. And then you also have to explain to them, how can I say? You know, we want to change the mindset. Your children have to see you reading the book. Mm-hmm. And then you have to put on, you know, if you're going to watch television, put on something educational. My son loves to watch, you know, when, like the African savannah movies where, you know, the lions are being stalked, or, you know, the lions are stalking the antelopes. My son loves to watch that. So guess what we watch in the morning? We turn it on and let him learn about Africa and the animals in Africa and how they do. And he relates it to, you know, because we have a house cat. And, you know, he relates that to the cat that we have here in the house. And it becomes more real to him. But my children have seen me 3.5 years researching and writing a book with nobody over my shoulder making me do it. Right. So that right there is an example. It has to come from the home. You have to have a thirst and a hunger for knowledge. And when I was growing up, I would see my parents reading their Bible, and I knew it was part of my Christian walk every day. I had to spend some time in that book. You know, now, if your children don't see you doing it, they don't see a need to do it either.
That's
so,
right.
You know, my daughter is a Bible scholar. They have to tell her to pipe down in Bible class because she knows all the answers. She's raising her hand, and she knows the answers. So, you know, she's a lady after my own heart that way. But
right.
To change it, we have to make sure we model it, and we have to make sure that we care about these things. But the main thing is the Holy Ghost makes you smarter.
That's right.
And I explain in my book that there are seven facets of the anointing. There's seven spirits of God. See, the Word of God, the Bible says that the Word is like light. Jesus
That's
is
right.
the light of the world. If you take a prism, did you know that if you take a prism and put it in sunlight, that light will separate into seven different colors?
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that? There are seven
right.
spirits of God. Seven spirits of God. Isn't it, you know, the Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God. You know, the Bible says that Jesus is light. And in him there's no darkness or shadow of turning. So when you see the seven colors, those seven is the number of perfection. There are seven spirits of God, or as Creflo Dollar puts it, there are seven facets of the anointing. And of those anointings, there are seven different names.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them have to do with wisdom, understanding, and learning. So
right.
when you get the Holy Ghost, it gets hold to your brain, and it makes you smarter. On the other hand, you serve the devil, you get dumbed down. Because he don't care for you to be smarter. He wants you to be dumb so you could be poor as dirt. And he will get hold to your brain and make you make bad decisions. But the Holy Ghost makes you smarter. So you got to make sure you get the anointing and you get filled with the Holy Ghost from a young age. And your brain will thank you for it. And God can drop stuff in you. You know, I can't say that I wrote this book. How many pages is it? Do you have it in front of you?
I don't because I'm waiting on it. That's fine.
Okay, well, it's 354 pages.
Praise the Lord.
354 pages of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. I can't say that I did it all myself. Matter of fact, the Holy Ghost, it was at a prophetic meeting that God said, and he used my bishop to do it. Bishop said, Sister Davis, I see you writing a book. And I started to jump up and run around the church because I had had the president of my Bible college. I was enrolled in the master's program. He had told me the same thing. And I said, God, is this you or is this man just talking off the side of his neck? I want
mm-hmm.
you to confirm this. And mm-hmm. the service wasn't halfway over before he called me out and said, this is what you're supposed to do. So I knew I had to do it to be obedient to God. And I paid a lot of money to do it. Sometimes it was my own money. But God
Amen.
Said that he was, in the prophetic meeting, God said he was going to give me $3,000 to do what God wanted me to do, to the penny, and that's how much I got.
Mm-hmm.
But it was more than that. I put a lot of my own money into it also.
Now, sister, do you go around doing workshops and things with
I
your book?
I am getting ready to go to Lynchburg, Virginia,
mm-hmm.
and I have a meeting with the president of the Southern Baptist Convention. I don't know if you know the nation's largest Protestant denomination is headed by a black man. I don't know if you remember Dr. Fred Luter was elected president of the Southern Baptist Convention several years back.
Uh-huh.
And I'm meeting with him this Thursday on the campus of Liberty University, and
mm-hmm.
we are discussing me bringing a class based off the research for Bill Cosby is Right, to the campus of Liberty University, the nation's largest Christian university and my alma mater.
Well, praise the Lord.
So I believe it's going to happen. And Dr. Luter is interested in making it happen. And my leadership at Liberty University at the seminary there have been talking to me about this for a while, and I've said it's enough talk. It's time to do. So that's
right.
what's getting ready to happen this week. But, yes, I do come out. I do a minister on the book. People can have me come out to church to do book signings. I don't
mm-hmm.
set a certain fee. I just do expect my expenses to be paid. But I don't say, well, you have to pay me X amount of dollars honorarium, this and that and the other. No. It's out
mm-hmm.
of my heart that I'm doing this. So if anybody needs to get in touch with me, they can do so through my website, which is marisadavis.com, M-E-R-I-S-A-D-A-V-I-S.com, or my church website, which is victorytempleatlanta.org.
Okay.
But, yes, I'd love to come out to somebody's church. Oh, yes, I'll come out there. I do it for love offering. My expenses and a love offering, because, you know, this thing hurt. This is something that's in my heart, and I want to get the word out there. It is a book that God has called me to write, and, you know, we can make a difference. The church can make a difference. The church is the reason why it's gotten this bad, because we had too many people sitting on their behinds trying to look cute in church, running around trying to figure out how they can get rich like it's an Amway convention. Getting too hung up on the prosperity theology, and it's all about me, and what can I do to put more money in my pocket? No,
it should be
about what can you do to make your fellow man's life just a little better.
That's
Bible
right.
Let us know.
Preach it now.
That, I know I'm preaching. I know I am.
Yes.
And you know, I love. I'm not dogging big. Huge ministries. There's plenty of them here in Atlanta. I'll take the leftovers. I'm not trying to put them down, you know, because, you know, they have a measure of success that I don't have. So something they're doing is different than what I'm doing. But what I'm called to do is to speak the truth in love and to make a difference. And, you know, the Bible lets us know that the number one commandment is to love the Lord thy God with all the heart, soul, mind, and strength. And number two, love your neighbor as yourself. And if you're too busy to kind of sit there and put money in your own pocket, that's not loving yourself. Because the Bible says that where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And so I know some rich people, and they are the most self-absorbed people because they heap it all up for themselves. Heap it up for themselves, and they ain't think about nobody else. And their treasure, their heart is on their treasure, which is their own bank account. Am I making sense? You ever heard of
You're making a lot of sense.
Yes, ma'am. No. Well, see, I preach different than other people. I have a different anointing. But I'm happy to come out and share what God has given me in America, out there. And, you know, and I give it my heart, my all. And I love the saints of God. I love these kids at my school. I love them.
That's right.
I want to see them succeed. And, you know, that's what it takes. I see some of the substitutes, they snarling at the kids. Y'all need to settle down. And I'll give them the evil eye and make them act right. But my heart is, I want to see you succeed. And I passed out their report cards, I guess when I was working there a month or two ago. And it was horrible. And it just made me so hurtful that it was the black students that had the D's, the F's. And I just wanted to just hit them upside the head with the report card saying, this is your future. And you sit around and you goof, and you'll never get these years back. And I know it because my parents, God bless them, you know, they grew up under Jim Crow. And their schools, you know, it wasn't just, you know, their schools were just so-so. And, I didn't move ahead in math like I should have. So I had to take remedial algebra to take what they call the graduate requisite exam, GRE, to get into grad school, you know?
All right.
I'm a very intelligent person, did excellent on the verbal. But that math, you know, if you miss out in the eighth grade, ninth grade, you'll never make it back.
That's right.
I had to take remedial algebra. I had to sit there with the tutor. My daughter knows more about her math than me. But you know what? That's what my job is, to make sure she goes further than me. I had to get her a physics tutor. Physics, I was sitting there. I never had physics. But it was fascinating to me. And I substitute taught in the physics classroom. I was like, man, this is awesome. Yeah, they said that time has a beginning and an end. I knew that. That's in the Bible.
That's right.
That's in the Bible. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, I knew a lot of this anyway because of what I've been studying in the Bible. But I need to know more, and I sure enough paid attention. And, I was reading a little book today. A lot of the kids were like, Mr. Davis, you never read To Kill a Mockingbird before? I said, no, I think my school, being predominantly black, didn't like this book because the N-word is all through it. I said, mm-hmm. I do not think it was required reading at my high school. Matter of fact, I know it wasn't because I read it. But I read it. I read it today. I finished it up today. Great piece of literature. And, you know, but see, that's my heart. I'm going to learn, and I'm going to do something better. And I'm going to move forward. And, you know, and the kids noticed. You never read that book before? I said, no, I didn't, but I got it now. It's never too late.
Right.
Yes, I'm 50, almost 50 years old. Yes, I'm going to get my Ph.D. And God is going to anoint my brain, even though it might be a little rusty, to get and do what I need to do.
That's right, Dad. I like that. And speaking of that, I'm coming to Atlanta on the 30th. What's the name of your church, sister? I might come and hear you preach.
Victory Temple Atlanta. Please come on out. We have an evening service. It's in Norcross, Georgia. You got my number. Give me a call. It's 6:30 in the evening. Come on out. You know, we do a Bible study, and it's not like what other people are teaching. It's just different. It's different. I can't explain it. It's straight from the Word. It's different. And this is the way I grew up in a different kind of church, so my ministry is different than other people's.
Now, do you have morning service?
We do not have a morning service at this time. We are moving towards that goal really soon. But right now we're doing 6:30 p.m. service Sunday night.
Okay, and I'll give you a call, and I'll probably try to make it.
Amen, woman of God. We'll be thrilled to have you and get you to come on up to the podium and have something to say. I tell you what, if you come to my church, I'll give you a Bill Cosby's Right t-shirt. But call me ahead of time so I don't forget.
Okay, and I need to discuss a project with you offline, but I'll call you probably tomorrow.
Sure.
Okay.
Okay, woman of God, I hope to share with you what you wanted to hear tonight.
Yes, is there any concluding remarks you have before we go?
Well, you know, other than the fact that the Bible has all the answers to whatever problems we have in life, you know, we got a problem, we got a bad situation, we got a turmoil and strife, and, you know, I'm a preacher, but, you know, I got some issues too. But I'm going to make it through, and when I make through, I'm going to be stronger, and I'm going to reach around and help somebody else. That's my job.
That's right. And once again, Reverend Davis, I appreciate your time. I know your schedule is very busy, and I will stay in contact with you, and I'll probably call you tomorrow or sometime this week, okay?
Okay, I might be in a classroom, so I might not be able to answer, but I'm more than happy to talk to you. God bless you, and God bless your radio program, too.
All right, thank you so much. All right, bye-bye. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that was Reverend Marissa Davis, and she wrote the book, Bill Cosby Is Right. So be sure to pick that book up because we're going to do a book study, and pretty soon I'm going to have Dr. Dyson on discussing his book, Is Bill Cosby Right? Okay, I have a few announcements today, and I'm going to repeat them because we had a kind of a rocky start. Okay, my announcements are as such. Be sure to continue to uplift your family and friends by asking them, telling them to log on to blogtalkradio.com/freedolove. That's blogtalkradio.com/FREDA. Gospel artists, artists, promoters, publicists, positive community leaders, anyone who is affiliated with organizations who's doing positive things in the community, please, Facebook, AfreedaLove at AlFredaLove or FredaLove or EmoNya_love@yahoo.com. The Perfecting Your Walk Guide is out. It is on several websites. It will be used in conjunction with the Is Bill Cosby Right and Bill Cosby Is Right. It will be used with that, so please be sure to check it out. In addition to that, continue to pray for 82 individuals. If you have to pray for all of your family members, make sure you put them on one line and pray for them one by one. Also, be sure to continue to uplift anyone who is sick in the hospitals, anyone who's going through surgery, anyone who is just going through. Continue to uplift those individuals. I'm going to give a brief synopsis on our interview today. I spoke with Reverend Davis, and she indicated some of the social ills in the black community and the family structure. We also discussed things about in other words, the fads, the trends that are going on within the schools. And one of the solutions she provided was to have a tutoring session through a grant. In addition to that, she says that parents need to sit down with their children and model reading books and model caring about education. She believes that the social ills of many family structures has to do with how children are brought up and what they're taught. I asked her what the basic family structure was, or what should a family structure look like, and of course she gave me different examples about Father Abraham and David, about they had a lot of kids and there were a lot of dysfunctionality in many families in the Bible. But she went on to say that the family basically cares. It's just a parent or the parents who care about their children. And as we all know, she did write the book, The Cosby Is Right, and there are a lot of things that go on within the community that needs to be addressed. And as I begin to read the book and as we begin to have the book study, we would dive into deep conversations about different things, because we did speak about resources, and she spoke about moving her son to a different school because of the perspective that he had about studying, or because of the perspective about his shoes and, you know, students trading shoes. And we even have that going on now. We have 20-year-olds trading shoes. And so the whole focus of the global project to extend this ministry, the Love Lift Jesus Up ministry, nationwide, in which we begin to take action. We see that a lot of things are going on as far as what's going on in the community, what's going on in the schools, and what God revealed is it's our job not only to see it and write about it and talk about it and lecture about it, but we must take action. So the Love Lift Jesus Up ministry is taking action through, we're starting with letters, something very simple that God gave us. We're starting with the letters, and we're speaking to many ministers and preachers, and we're also bringing individuals online, and we're also doing a lot of community projects. I was at a particular place today, and the Lord spoke, and he said, if you want anything done, especially for the kingdom of God, he said, you have to begin doing it, because a lot of people, we sometimes, the vision was given to particular people. Not every person is responsible for that particular vision, because the Lord didn't give it to them. And the Lord says, you have to carry out, you have to lead the vision. You have to lead the vision, because the people will perish if there's someone else leading the vision that he gave unto you, whoever the you is. And so in doing this, I'm going to go ahead and we're sending out letters, and we're getting great responses, and we're going to have authors such as Reverend Davis and Dr. Dyson and other individuals come online in order to establish a framework, because, as I said before, we know that there are problems in the community. We know that there are situations in the community. We know what kids are going through. We know the different fads. But the particular things that we need to hone in on is, how do we bring unity in the community? And that's through bringing Jesus Christ. Number two, how do we foster a climate of learning? That's through, in the community, educating in the community. Many times the education only comes from the school or from the teachers, but we need to begin to educate in the community. We can say that students need to learn from their home, from their parents, but what God is revealing is sometimes we cannot count on that. We cannot bank on that. We have children who are in broken homes. Some children don't even live with their parents. So God is saying, if you know to do better, and do what you can. The third thing we want to tackle is the church, the responsibility of the church, and that's what we're doing with the letters. We're getting the letters out so that different ministers can go out and not only just worry about your church and worry about what's going on in your community, but also foster those other churches. And the way that things happen is you begin to partner with people. You begin to have networks going so that people will be able to come together as one, and not only come up with ideas, but take action. And as I said before, and I'm almost finished, but God placed this on my heart because it's very important, because I have a lot of people listening, and I have someone in particular who is really busy in the entertainment world, in the ministry world, and who has a mega church, but who has agreed to help get the word out, which is good. So what I'm explaining is, it's one thing to
talk about it and to point fingers and to say who should be doing what, but we need to organize and take action. And that's the whole point of, you know, of this project that the Lord has given me. And so that's what we're going to do, and we are going to expand this globally. And we're going to have not only the book studies, but I'm going to take this to workshops. We're going to form workshops. We're going to have different things going on as far as to help the community, because it's very important. Because what's happening now, and what the Lord is showing, what's happening is a lot of people, and we're speaking of kids in particular, are not only falling out of love with Christ, but falling out of love with respect, obedience, falling out of love with school, period. And so we're in trouble when we get to be, God bless us, to be 50, 60 years old. Who's going to, you know, I'm not going to say who's going to take care of us, because I know God's going to take care of us. I'm saying who's going to be working, you know, in the medical fields when we have a cold, when we have the flu, who's going to be working it? And so it's very important that we begin to invest in our community, we invest in our students, we invest in getting the word out, educating, and educating is very important. Educating does not mean sitting, you know, or going to a community, sitting down, telling a story. It means going to a community, showing people how to survive, showing people what respect looks like, showing people what happens when you're respectful, showing people what happens when you are in the Word of God, showing people what happens in different facets, in different areas. So we really need to make sure that we're taking action. And so that's what we're doing. That's what the Love of Jesus Ministry is doing. I have several other people that I'm going to interview pretty soon as far as looking at the community ills and issues, and as far as these books, Is Bill Cosby Right? Bill Cosby is Right. I'm going to interview Dr. Marissa again. And so I just want all of you to know that I appreciate you listening. I appreciate the inboxes. I appreciate everything you're doing. And one thing that I do want to leave with you is this, and I'm speaking especially to the spiritual leaders, because God gave me this earlier today. God said, if you want it done, you do it. If you want it done, he said, you do it. And if God has given it to you, if he's put the ball in your court, you must start it. You must do it. If he's put the ball in your court, everybody you cannot take. There will be people who will say, I'm coming with you on the journey. I'm coming with you here or there, and it's not happening. God says he gave that to you because he has the resources and the people already there in place. He said, go and do it. So if the Lord has put a vision on your heart, if he's put a ministry on your heart, if he's put something for you to do in the community on your heart, do it. Because God has already ordained and he's already placed the people where you're going. Okay? So I just want you to know that continue to watch the Love of Jesus Up blog, and also the Facebook page, because I will have who will come on the ministry, such as tonight. And continue to just pray one for another. Continue to pray for those Nigerian girls who are lost, who are kidnapped, who was kidnapped. Continue to pray for them. Continue to pray for just our government and our school system. Continue to pray for yourselves and for your families and for the social ills that are going on within the community. Continue to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for your labor is not in vain. And so the bringing Christ back into the community is going to be huge. And we already have the ball rolling. We already have it moving. So that's what we're doing, and that's where we're at. And once again, I love all of you. I appreciate you for logging in. I see a lot of callers on. If you ever want to chime in or have a question, please feel free to do so, because we like that dialogue, because we learn from each other. And once again, thank you so much. May God take care of you and bless you. If someone asks you what that big, beautiful smile is all about, you be sure to tell them that love lifted you up, because God is love. Until next time, which is Wednesday, please take care of yourselves and each other. And once again, I thank you so much. Someone just inboxed me a lovely message. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. And be sure to take care of yourselves and each other. Goodbye, everybody.